This is the Anatomy of a Scream Pod Squad Network.
Don't be a pussy. Laser my fucking tits.
Hello and welcome to The Girls on the Boys, the podcast dedicated to analyzing the Amazon series The Boys and the spicy world of suits and stereotypes.
I'm Rachel Reeves.
And today we are talking about the penultimate episode of season 3, episode 7. Deep fucks another octopus.
Oh no.
Also titled Here Comes a Candle to Light You to Bed.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I meant to Google it. I was like, what is this? Is this like a song lyric? I don't know. But it sounds sad and, you know, very kind of like moody. And that makes sense because this episode, it made me tear up a couple of times. I was like, what's happening?
Ooh, okay. I'm excited to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes down. And, you know, as the penultimate episode, we're setting the stage for a lot of stuff. Which, side note, I use penultimate so much in our meetings, like my day job meetings, that my group has just started calling things nultimate now, if it's like the regular thing. Which I don't know if it's a word, but I'm going to make it one.
I like that, yeah.
Nultimate.
Wait, yeah. Nultimate?
Nultimate. Mm-hmm. Instead of like penultimate, you know. I don't know. Yeah. Hey, dictionary, yeah. Tell me if I'm right.
Yeah, it makes sense because it's like, what do you do? Like, how do you follow up your orgasm? Like, there's no way you're going to, like, come, like, rise to that level of just, like, you know.
You've already shot your wad. You got to recoup a little bit.
Yeah, it's like you need to just, like, chill and, I don't know, you got to just calm down and give yourself a second to recover.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, like, while I think, like, action-wise and kind of physically-wise, this is maybe a bit of a recovery, but it hits pretty hard emotionally, I think, in some ways.
It does, yeah. It's got us in the feels. Yeah, it's like you just put your REO Speedwagon on and you just try to work yourself back up.
I know, but that is something like I love about the series because it's like even when it's being like talking about, I mean, there's a warning at the beginning of it. There's like literally like, hey, just so you know, nobody was harmed, mm-hmm. you know, all that. And those are not in front of every episode. So it's like, okay, you know, you're in for something, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They still have the humor though. Like they never let something get too heavy. It's like, no, you're still watching The Boys. Like, don't forget. Like, we know,
exactly.
Like, we're still going to throw in some funny bits to break it up so you're not just completely devastated.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not going to, you may cry, but we're also going to talk about nutsacks and mm-hmm. somebody's going to explode. So, you know, it will be okay. Well, speaking of speaking of nutsacks are exploding, let's go to our first category, Huey, Cutie, and the News. So do we have any news updates?
Yeah, a couple. And I mean, it makes sense. We're talking about the kind of a sad episode. So I do, and, you know, we want to acknowledge the tragic passing of Chance Perdomo, who played a character named Andre in the Gen V series. And even though we haven't, you know, quite reached our Gen V coverage yet, wanted to talk about it and just kind of mention it because it is just so sad. He was only 27 when he passed, and he had a motorcycle accident, so it was really unexpected. And, you know, 27 is just way too young. Mm-hmm. And everybody, you know, was talking about him, all the cast and crew of The Boys and Gen V, just what a sweet, incredible talent he was. And so, you know, just our hearts sincerely go out to Chance's friends, family, entire Boys family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's easy to see how close the cast and crew are of this series. And it really even from the outside, seems like that's transferred over to the Gen V crew. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine kind of just what a shock that was to everybody.
Yeah.
So really, really sad for that. Just wanted to mention that while it's, you know, relatively fresh. And then, but as far as season 4 goes, just yesterday for us, April 10th, Eric Kripke took to Twitter and he said, as of today, The Boys season 4 is completely, totally, absolutely done. Yay. I'm really grateful and so proud of this cast and crew. Could be our best yet. Can't wait to unleash it onto the world. So,
man, that's
good to hear.
Yeah, and that's a very high bar, you know?
I know. And he's one of those people, like, you know when like producers say that sometimes where it's like, oh, it's the best whatever yet. Right. And it's like, yeah, okay, we'll see. You know, right. I don't, but you know, I believe him. I have faith too. In Kripke. Like, I don't think he's that kind to just throw something out there just for, like, I don't know, cheesy producer talk. It's like, no, I actually believe, like, he wouldn't say that he's proud of this stuff and wouldn't say something like that if he didn't actually be like, no, I can back this up.
Cough. Stephen King. Cough.
I know. Yeah, the best Salem's Lot ever.
Oh, yeah, it does exist. Yeah, and I mean, when I look at, you know, he hasn't done me wrong yet. You know, there are some episodes that I like better than others. But I think of all three seasons, there's no episode that I thought was bad, you know?
Yeah, and, or not a season where I'm like, what are they doing? It's like, yeah, so far, so good. No complaints. So.
And I would say the same thing about seasons 1 through 5 of Supernatural, too. In fact, after this episode, I was like, maybe I should watch it again because... You know, Jensen Ackles is, he's just great in this episode. Can't wait to talk about it.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about this episode in our next category, the name of the game. And we said, yes, already that this episode is called Here Comes a Light to Light. See, this is the problem. This is unsayable. Here comes a candle to light you to bed. The only thing that I have a bone to pick with Kripke on is the titles of these episodes. And again, I hope it's not like referring to something that like we, I don't know, that we
that's
should
fine,
know.
Yeah. But. Let's find out. Okay. No, it is. All right. So it's a lyric to, what is this? Oh, a nursery rhyme called Oranges and Lemon. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's the It
from
song.
From It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oranges and lemons. Da, 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 yeah. Say da, the bells da. Of St. Clement. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. I would have to think about this for more than 2 seconds to be like, I'm not really sure what the reference is to what this has to do with the episode.
I did some research on the song for my day job because we did a whole project on the Oranges and Lemon song. And it's a... Here comes a candle to light you to bed, and then it, like, chopped your head off. That is an alternate lyric, I believe, to cut off your head. So
yeah, it says the last lyric is, and here comes a chopper to chop off your head.
Yeah, and then if you're the one that gets chopped off, then you're out of the game. Interesting. Oh. King's Dominion, man.
Yeah, weird.
Also, that song is super high, and it was such a pain in the ass to sing because I am an alto, so. And then our description, and I have to give a shout out to Rachel who remembered to put this in. So thank you because
sure.
I forgot. Everything's changing as never expected. Hold on. Everything's changing as never expected for the Homelander. Soldier Boy is searching for the other older payback. Soldier Boy is searching for the other old payback members to slay. Black Noir recollects what has really gotten him to the current situation. Okay, deep wrote that. I'm just kidding.
Well,
say.
And it's like. I kept like looking. I'm like, wait, no, where's like the fun synopsis? Because everything is like so like funny and like silly and, you know, has some. And I'm like, this is boring.
Hold on. Let me just... see if I can find. Sometimes they're hidden.
I was like, this is just like a totally normal synopsis, which feels weird.
Amazon Prime. Oh, yeah, there is another one. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the that I think is I don't know that. I don't think that is the Kripke one. Okay.
Gotcha.
Did someone say birthday? Come celebrate at Buster Beaver's with our new deluxe VIP birthday package with seating for up to 30 guests, 10 large two-topping pizzas, and 10 pitchers of your choice of soda. And of course, a special birthday play starring Buster Beaver and his cast of furry forest friends. Furry forest friends like that. All for only $199.99 plus tax. Buster Beaver's Pizza, where kids make the rules.
Oh, Black Noir.
I know.
So this episode is directed by Sarah Boyd, who we've talked about before because she directed season 2, episode 6, The Bloody Doors Off. And she's also going to be directing the next episode. So she will be closing out the season as well. And I love how they do that. They kind of let these directors take on two really like back to back important ones, it seems like, you mm-hmm. know, the episode one and two of the season, same director, like pairs together. Yeah. So it's kind of, you get to tell a complete story and sort of, you know, finish out or kick off the season and have a moment to actually like let it breathe and complete your little story arc. And I mm-hmm. think that's very smart because it allows them to really hit harder, I think, mm-hmm. and also feel a little bit more balanced and get you either on or off on the right foot. And then so before becoming a director, Boyd, just wanted to remind everybody, she was nominated for 2 Emmys and something that I think sounds important, which is called an Ace Eddy for editing the hit television show Lost. So yes, she's also an editor. So
nice. Which is like the secret weapon for
totally
all movies and shows that are good.
Yeah. And I think especially in like episodes like this that are really emotionally heavy, you know, pace, structure, kind of like how to structure that and how to edit it together where it's, you know, not too much one way or the other, especially for a show like The Boys where it's, you got to put in those funny moments, those kind of breaks in the tension a little bit. And so makes sense why you would want to have an editor kind of at the helm to handle some of these things that are a little more emotionally taxing. So yeah, we'll be seeing her again. So we'll talk about her again next week.
Sweet. Yeah, and also when you've got 50 million characters too that are kind of in the mix and doing all kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. I she didn't steer me wrong in this episode. I think it's very well put together. Let's talk about the ones that came before in our next category, Sup with the Soups, which is where we recap what's been happening. And what happened was HeroGasm.
I know. I just said HeroGasm for a while. I'm like, I should probably say something else.
Yeah. And once again, thank you so much for saving my ass on this recap. But yeah, HeroGasm, that's the big thing that happened. You know, it kind of is all encompassing. We talked for 2 hours about it, too. So if you haven't listened to that episode, definitely do.
Okay, so Billy and Huey help Soldier Boy track down the TNT twins, who just happen to be the hosts of the iconic HeroGasm that Frenchie is going to be so sad that he missed.
The one regret of his life.
Yep. And the TNT twins also happen to live in Tiffany Valentine's house from Chucky, which is weird, and I love it. Homelander and the Deep track down Soldier Boy and also end up at the TNT twins' house. And then Annie and Mother's Milk also end up at the TNT twins' house, but they're there to save people from the anticipated fallout because they know that everybody else is going to go there and that can't be good. And then, you know, Mother's Milk also maybe wants to take a stab at Soldier Boy. Then the Deep gets sidetracked by one hot mollusk and a brawl of epic proportion goes down. Starlight hits her breaking point and takes her truth to the ultimate news source. Instagram Live.
Hey, it saves the day, you know. one hot mollusk. That was nice.
I learned from this episode.
Oh, same. It's a mollusk. Get your pronouns right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that. I would have said, I don't know what I would have called an octopus, a fish or a sea creature.
I know, like a spider monster. I don't know.
Yeah, so like, thank you. See, I learned something. The Deep did teach me something.
He did, yeah. Well, let's talk about the Deep in our next category, Bad Boys. Let's start with him. Man, he has found his true calling in the bedroom, and he just is not going to let it go. But he's also going to be on Hannity. So there's not a whole lot going on with him in this episode, but I feel like he has reached a turning point, you know?
I think he has. I think for whatever reason, he's really like feeling himself, and like I think what Cassandra's been doing for him has gone to his head, and now he's thinking that, you know, all this feedback about, you know, he's had good ideas and he's been called intelligent and all this stuff, now he's confusing that with thinking that he's actually doing all of that and that he doesn't need her. But it's like, no, dude, like, yeah, that was the whole point. Like, she's made you appear this way, but you wouldn't have got there on your own. Yeah. And so, and then he also, yeah, apparently he's been feeling comfortable enough to explore some of his, I don't know, his sexual fetishes that he's been now. Because I don't think it didn't seem like any of that was really hinted at in the first couple seasons, unless I'm not remembering properly. Like, this seems like a new development for him.
I think it is. Like, he's definitely had connections with fish before, or like marine life, you know, and like back to the dolphin in the first episode. But like, and I think people have made jokes about it, but I don't think we have ever seen him show any kind of attraction to a mollusk or a sea creature, you know. And I don't know, maybe just let him fuck his octopuses. Like, again, he can talk to him. So yes, it is consensual. He's getting consent.
And I think that it's part of it is that he's feeling desired.
Yeah.
By these sea creatures. Like, he's feeling appreciated and like they want, you know, I think that it's actually, but God, I can't believe we're talking about this.
Like, I know. This is a positive development as an octopus.
Yeah, like this is a positive thing for him, like finding a good, healthy relationship and feeling like loved and wanted from an octopus. But he tries to, you know, he brings it home to bed and, you know, tells Cassandra that he wants to kind of like spice up their love light. And God bless her. I applaud her for trying.
Yeah, I would not have. I've been like,
no. You know,
hey, cartoon octopuses are cute. Real octopuses are terrifying. Sorry, octopi. Yeah,
it was very weird and uncomfortable. But, you know, I guess that does say, like, she seems like she really does care about the deep on some level, but that was too far. And yeah. I don't know. This is not going to end well for the deep, I think. I think he's quickly going to realize it. Like, no, dude, sorry. Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, like, exactly. You don't know what you're doing. Like, when it was just you, you got kicked out because you sexually assaulted someone. Like,
yeah,
that's what you did without me. And it comes at this moment, too. Like, these things both happen at the same time. Like, the octopus, like, wants to taste her.
She's like, nope.
No. Because it's also coming right on the heels of him being like, oh, no, I'll be fine without you. I don't actually need you. Mm-hmm. And I think he's kind of realizing that, too. Like, this was always like a marriage of convenience for him and probably for her too. And like hear like she had tenure at Vassar or something, like to think about what she left for him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. She was like, I can fix him. And I think this is the moment where she realized, no, I cannot.
Yeah. And even if I could I want to. Yeah.
This is too much.
At what cost? Nope. Yeah. One thing I did think was interesting is that they did actually name check Hannity too, you know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because like before we'd had Cameron Coleman, which is like Michael Carlson. So, yeah, we'll see. And I honestly cannot remember what happens with this, too. So we'll be watching along with you.
Yeah. TBD.
Yep. Let's talk about Black Noir also, because these are two of our kind of in isolation soups. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask, and, you know, we've talked about when we cover season 4, because I don't know what's going to happen, kind of merging these two categories and deciding, are they Spice Girls or are they Bad Boys? And, you know, this kind of feels like a preview for that, because I don't know do you feel like Irving should still be on the Bad Boys list?
I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, I love that we kind of get a little bit more backstory on, like, what happened here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, the way it was executed, too. I mean, if you have to have some exposition, like an exposition dump, mm-hmm. I was like, well, this is a pretty good way to do it, I guess. Get these cartoon characters in there to really kind of, like, bring his thoughts and inner kind of conflicts to life. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was super funny and super cute and also super graphic in some moments, but what would I expect? It is the boys after all. But yeah, we learned that Black Noir was in charge of this kind of, but it was also like set up by Vought. Mm-hmm. Like they wanted Soldier Boy out of the way, and so they basically were like, hey, well, you can organize the rest of the team and make this happen. Mm-hmm. And he did,
and they all jump on board too.
So they all did, other than Gunpowder, I guess. And so now he's really struggling, like, what do I do with this? What do I do now? I knew this moment would come. Mm-hmm. But now he's just hiding out in, what is it? Buster Beaver's, some Chuck E. Cheese knockoff, some abandoned knockoff, just somewhere where he feels safe. What's the beans? the baked beans.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, too, like, we've already seen that he's got some brain damage from this thing. You know, we saw what we thought happened in Nicaragua. It's interesting to get this perspective of it, that it was not like an outside force attacking. It was like
it was Soldier Boy.
He did all of this. And then the team retaliating against Soldier Boy. And I'm glad that we didn't have to see this actually happen. I'm glad we saw it with cartoon characters, because like it is just brutal to see what happened to him. And we'll see him use his shield to smash somebody else's face later in the episode too. But I think, like, I don't know, it just feels like this is what a kid does when they're on their own, you know? Yeah. Like, they find some cans in the back and they eat them because he's used to living in Vought Tower and having people cook for him all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Which is just really sad. And it makes me question whether he should have been on the bad boys list all along too, if he is this like emotionally stunted or like intellectually stunted. Like, does he have the capacity to actually be a Spice Girl or a bad boy, you know? Like, because he's just doing what people tell him. And we see, like, Mr. Edgar's got a little camera in his pocket. One of those episodes where they were hiding out at Butcher's weed-selling granny's house. It's probably his aunt. But, like, he is just doing what everyone tells him to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like he doesn't – I think he's stuck in this moment because he doesn't know what to do. And he doesn't have anybody telling him which direction to go. And so it's like – he literally doesn't know what to do in this moment because, everybody, whether it's Homelander or, you know, Mr. Edgar or whatever, Soldier Boy, just kind of pointing him in a direction and telling him to go do that. It's like he's good at that, but he's not necessarily great at leading and making his own decisions for one reason or another, which, I think this is the first time it's hinted at that, like, maybe this is something he can't help. Yeah, this is a result of brain damage or extremely traumatic head injury that now he's kind of incapable of thinking on his own, which is just really really sad.
And to watch him kind of talk with these characters, because earlier in the season I noticed in a meeting he was drawing a cartoon character, and it was the first time I'd seen it in a couple of rewatches, and I was like, oh. So you wonder, are these characters with him all the time? You know, is this just how he relates to the world? Is this like his emotional parts kind of manifesting as cartoon characters because they feel safe? And it's really beautiful how they kind of show him this memory that he's buried for so long, you know, and they're like, it's time to show this to you. And they pull the curtain back and, you know, it's graphic and it's horrible, but it's also like such a sweet way to show a really traumatic thing. And it's happening when, like, I don't know about you, but like, I really enjoy watching Soldier Boy. Like, he's very funny, he's very dreamy. And so to see him doing this to him, and because we were talking about like whether he can be a leader, I think we see that he would have been a great leader.
He could have been,
And he could have been like, what A-Train wants to do right now and kind of like a name only, he could have actually done that, you know, because he seems like he was funny. Like, he could have been Axel Foley. He could have really done a lot for a lot of people who don't see themselves represented. And Soldier Boy took that away from him and took it away from all of us, too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Soldier Boy. And man, I'm curious your thoughts about him, because I've got a lot of mixed emotions and a lot of them are colored with my major crush. So how are you feeling about Soldier Boy in this episode?
I think this was the episode where, I mean, we've known, you know, we've heard some of the things that Soldier Boy has done from various other characters, how he's not, you know, oh, he was kind of an asshole, like he wasn't that great. Like, we've heard these things, but I feel like this was really the episode where we see a lot more of that, where it's like, oh no, he's not necessarily so great. Like, yes, he's funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's got these one-liners. He's got all these things. He's handsome. He's charming. But yeah, he's not the hero that he even thinks he is,
right?
I think. And he's not how he's been portrayed. And he's not as ignorant about that, I guess, as maybe I initially thought, how it's like, oh, he thinks he's this hero. But it's like, I think he... he knows that he's not necessarily that hero, mm-hmm. but also just is kind of keeping up the facade because he knows that's like, well, that's what I should do.
Right.
And that's what I need to do. But he's more self-aware, I think, than I initially gave him credit for. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, my thoughts on him as a character were definitely, it's like, oh, it's a little more tarnished than he was before. It's a little, he's got a little bit more dirt on him, I think, because... Yeah, the whole thing with Black Noir is really sad mm-hmm. and really tragic and just brutal. And then also, like, what we learn from the legend and just kind of his role in all these sort of things and how it wasn't what we thought. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't know, it's like he's almost a product of his time, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, to compare him to Homelander, which we will talk about, like... he was in a world where you could just show up 2 weeks later and pretend. And I think he tells himself this for so long that you almost start to believe it. And mm-hmm. nobody's pushing back, you know, because they have no ability to. And even if they are, like, you don't have social media, you can't, like, get your voice out nearly as much as you could now. Like, I imagine his popularity points, like, they probably, who knows if they were even tracking them back then, you know, he just is who he is in his mind. It is interesting to see him in battle mode in this episode too, you know, like, yeah. because we do see him. I just wrote fucking grannies to REO Speedwagon, which yeah. Hey ladies, get yours, and you're gonna do that with Jensen Ackles, and you,
I mean, he's,
if you get that chance,
yeah.
you go for it. Yeah, and I mean that, and it's that kind of thing where it's like they've aged like a fine wine, like that makes me really like him, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he does all of this shit, like he's just gonna leave Butcher behind, like he is in battle mode, and battle for him is just what he wants, and that's it. But it is like he kind of loses that smarminess, and we see him like in action and fighting and like really telling some hard truths to Huey, or at least hard truths that he believes. He's like, no, we just gotta keep going, like this, I know what I'm talking about. I did, like, he kept hearing things and Huey didn't believe him. And he was like, no, no, no. I know who Mindhunter is. Like, listen to me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's this really interesting mix of, like, I really want to like this guy, but he's such a piece of shit, you know?
You know, and I can talk to you about this now because you're watching it. You know who he's like in a lot of ways. He's like Jax Taylor.
He is like Jax Taylor.
From Vanderpump.
Yes.
Because you hate him. He's awful. He's a terrible human being, but he's also an incredible, perfect reality star.
Oh my God, I know. And he is so funny, and he'll do these things like where you can, like, I remember I just watched the episode where they went in drag to Katie and Tom's party, yeah. and him like looking at the producer like, how do I say this? What's the correct, and just like for him to care what the correct terminology is, I was like, that's great. I really like this. Like, he cried mm-hmm. when he apologized to Sassy. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of EPR recently.
He understands the assignment. You know, he's great at his job. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing in that realm. But it's like you take two steps back and you're like, you are horrible.
Yeah, you're a monster. Like, yeah.
Yes, but in this one little, you know, avenue, this one lane, he's great. And that's the same thing with Soldier Boy. Like, he's so good at being that guy for Vought. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. He knows what his role is. He knows exactly what he's doing. And like, it's, and he's fine with that. And he's great. And he plays that role to perfection. But that's not everything.
Right.
Like, that's not the whole world. And that's not the world that you're currently living in. That might have worked 10 years ago when you were 30 years old and you were a bartender. But, dude, now you're 42 and that isn't cute anymore.
Right.
You know? So it's like, it's just times have changed. Things have changed. But he's just not able to see that. And yeah. It doesn't mean that he's not literally a good soldier.
Yeah.
It's just, it just doesn't hit the same way, you know, like with Huey and with Butcher. And it's like, that's not, we're not. You know, in Payback, this is not, we're not in the Seven. Like, dude, we're just all helping each other. And like, we're here for different reasons. Like, you can't just treat us like you would any other assignment from Vought. Like, that's not what we're doing here.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, that's one of the things that I love about the show. And again, I'm not super versed in Marvel, but like, aside from the fact that Chris Evans is oh gosh,
Captain America.
Captain America. Like, yeah. He just seems so vanilla, like, so yeah. perfect all the time. I haven't seen a lot of his movies, so I can't say for sure. But, like, this is reality. Like, this is because nobody is 100% good and nobody is 100% bad. And mm-hmm. every villain has good moments and every bad person has good moments. And I was trying to think of what we just talked about this with. And I think it was when we talked about Carrie. Mm. We were talking about mm-hmm. all these, like, really, like, complicated women and who is a villain and who is the hero. And also, like, the people in the crowd when Carrie burns them all. Like, one night of being nice to Carrie doesn't erase a lifetime of being an asshole, you know? And I think yeah. it we just meet him as a nice guy. And I think the show is, like, so smart to cast Jensen Ackles in this role because – you know, if you've watched Supernatural or if you just have eyes and ears and you see Jensen Ackles on screen, like, you're going to like him because he's a likable guy, you know, and he's so good looking, but he also owns it in a way that is not, like, so in your face. He's not, like, Chris Pratting all over the place, you know?
Yeah. He can say the most disgusting lines.
Oh, my God. Why don't you gargle Huey, like, my nutsack?
Yeah, even, like, Huey points it out, like, God, why do you always have to be so gross?
I know.
You know, but it's also, like, so funny. And mm-hmm. the way he says it, it's like, why did I find that charming? Like, that is disgusting.
It's Jensen Ackles, man. Yeah, and his dry delivery, I love mm-hmm. it. Yeah, I just love him so much. And I'm really glad, like, that we get this really nuanced character. I also wrote down, you want to know what I do when I'm sad or scared? Fucking nothing. I was like,
yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, and then, like, when was it either Butcher or I don't know, some they tell him that he's got PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Huey tells
I think
him,
Butcher.
Yeah.
Or is it Huey? Yeah.
Butcher tells Huey and Huey tells Butcher. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of your PTSD. And he's what does he say? Something about, like, I don't have shell shock.
Shell shock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, you know, an older term. You know, and but also just kind of is a sad way to realize it's like, oh, yeah, you're from a different time and, like, the stigma that held and mm-hmm. like, oh, it's just a reminder, I guess, that he is out of time a little bit.
Yeah.
And just kind of how sad that is, because there's probably a lot of things where he's just not, like, confronting in his own mind. Like, I'm not. No, that's not my problem. Like, I don't. Why would I have that? Like, I'm Soldier Boy. There's no way I have shell shock. It's
exactly.
Like, okay.
Right.
Sure, like, dude. No problem.
Clearly do. Everyone mm-hmm. can see it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we find out something very big about him in the end of this episode. You know, we kind of hinted that they sold him to the Russians because they have a boy. And that boy is his son, and that boy is Homelander.
It's a boy.
Did you see this coming?
No, I did not see this coming. It's in my notes. It's literally written the biggest. It just says dad. like what? Like, it makes sense. Like, I understand, like, okay, we have this new baby and he's going to be stronger and better. But it's like, wait, no, it's actually his dad. Like, oh, my God, this is insane. And also just even before this. You know, just, like, starting to realize it's like, oh, wait, the implications, like him thinking about Homelander and, you know, it's kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, uh-oh, I think there's going to, like, oh, no, they're going to be coming together and, like, mm-hmm. that will be bad. Like, no, they need to be against each other, not together, because I think once he realizes that there's, like, a mutual enemy, like, oh, wait, no, Vought's actually the bad guy. And it's like, oh, wait, Vought's the bad guy for both of them.
Yeah.
And that could be bad. And especially now he's like, Papa?
Oh my gosh.
Papa Soldier Boy? Yes.
And it's one of those things where, like, because I did not see that coming at all the first time I watched it. I was like, what? Although, if you think about it, like, it does seem pretty obvious, you know? It's like, it was always right there. But I was blown away. And let's talk about Homelander a little bit. There's not a whole lot. But what we get is awful, and maybe the scariest moment I have ever had with Homelander is when he says, no, I would never force myself on you. And then he just looks at her, but I am going to harvest your eggs. And I was like,
I know.
What the fuck? All of a sudden we're in Don't Breathe, you know?
Yeah. No, that's straight up medical rape.
Yep.
Like, I just wrote, Jesus, Homelander. Like, that is or and just like the way he delivers it too, you know, like I would never mm-hmm. do that to you, you know, I'm just gonna harvest your eggs. And it's just like so quintessential Homelander, where it's like he just, you know, it's like he doesn't, it's like he doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like there's or like
to, you know. Yeah,
it's and well, I don't know, maybe he does get it and that's just like, that's just how cold he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, no, I wouldn't do that, like that's too far, but I'm gonna do this.
Yeah,
because he knows it's almost worse in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not actually like he doesn't have to do it, he's gonna have somebody else do it.
Yeah,
and he's just gonna threaten them and just, I don't know, just violate her and another way. It's just, he's so awful to her.
I know. It's so disgusting, too. And, you know, there's not a whole lot to say about the legend, although it is nice to see Paul Reiser. But he says something interesting at the beginning. He was like, I would say you've worn out your welcome, but there was no welcome. And, like, and this is something we've talked about, like, when you are a superhero capable of killing someone, there really isn't consent, you know? And
yeah,
so Homelander would say, I'm never going to force myself on you. I'm not going to put my hands on you and force you. But he doesn't get that it's the same thing, that there is no consent for him. And that, mm-hmm. you know, he maybe used to dream about having kids with Maeve, but like she probably used to have nightmares about him and just dreamed about getting away from him as soon as she could, you know? And just that he, I don't think he will ever understand that, you know?
Well, and it's not Maeve herself. Like, I mean, this just proves, like, yeah, he might have, like, dreamt about having kids with her, but it wasn't because, oh, I love her as a person, like right. I care about this person. No,
I want us to have redheaded kids because she has red hair. Yeah,
he cares because she's kind of the ultimate female superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And in his, you know, she's on par with him in terms of strength and position and power and all that kind of stuff. It has nothing mm-hmm. to actually do with her as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And this just proves it. Like, I would love to have kids with you because you are also a incredible specimen, basically. Yeah. And just, like, by just boiling her down to that. And, I mean, that's, I mean, it just proves it when he's, the fact that he just wants to, like, strip her of her parts, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, you actually don't care about her as a person at all.
Right. Yeah. And it's back to his Stormfront Nazi, like, eugenics kind of thing. I don't know if eugenics is the word I mean, but, you know.
Yeah.
Dehumanizing people and just using them for their strength and body. And he's a product of that. And he just happens to be at the top of it. But, like, to hear, like, that he, because he's probably always wondered about how he came to be, like, does he have a father? I'm sure he probably just assumed he didn't. They just made him in a test tube. And now he knows that he could have had guidance, you know, and he just kind of throws that away, like, oh, they'd be twice as strong as Ryan. And that's chilling, too. I was like,
I know, his son, just like,
you know,
just to, like, the same, similarly, it's like, oh, that's why, what you value about your kid. It's I mean, it's not surprising. We've seen that, like, he doesn't really care about Ryan in the traditional sense, I guess. And this just proves it once again. Yeah. And also it was a good reminder, like, oh yeah, Ryan, where is he?
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. We haven't seen him in a while. Well, and so, okay, I've got two questions about this. Do you think that if Homelander had grown up with Soldier Boy as his father, would he be better or worse?
I think in some ways he would be better, but I don't know if that better would make him better or worse. And okay, so what I mean by that is, like, I think he wouldn't struggle with as much, like, insecurity about, like, you know, where he came from and having a family and just, like, not having that sort of association, you know, like, his bringing up was so cold, and that's clearly something that he struggled with and has led to some interesting relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he wouldn't have struggled in that sense, but he probably would have grown up even more entitled in some ways, because if you have, you know, somebody as your dad who's already kind of like the pinnacle of superheroes, and like you're growing up like that, I mean, you're probably going to just feel like, yeah, just that he would still be an asshole, I think.
Oh, yeah.
There would still be a lot of similar things. I'm just not sure. It's like, well, would that make him, having that family unit or having that kind of background, would that make him, yeah, I don't know. maybe in some ways it would make him a little bit more humble because he mm-hmm. would feel like he's always like having to live up to his dad's image versus mm-hmm. like here he thinks he's more of a god. And it's like, no, you're not really a god.
Right. You were born.
Yeah. Well, like your dad, you got every, like you owe everything to your dad.
So yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and it's interesting, like his soldier boy's like, I would have gladly given you the spotlight. And I was like, yeah, right. Like, we all watch Succession. Like, we know what happens when an asshole tries to, like, pass on his legacy and he doesn't want to let go. No, this probably would have come at some point, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that, like, having... I mean, you see that... It's funny, because here on this show, but then you've got somebody like Jack Quaid, yeah. who literally seems like the sweetest human being on the face of the planet in real life and on screen. Mm-hmm. And he's got like two incredible superstar parents as well. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. Would being a Nepo baby make Homelander more or less dangerous? I don't know.
It really kind of is a nightmare scenario. Like,
I guess we're going to find out a little bit.
We will, yeah. Because it feels like it can't get much worse, you know?
Yeah.
But could it? Well, okay. And so my other question, if you had to choose one of them to team up with, who do you think is the bigger threat right now? And who would you want to like align? Like, who's the safer person to be on a team with, you know?
Well, I would want, selfishly, I would want to be on Soldier Boy's team because Soldier Boy has the literal power to strip you of your power.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't mm-hmm. want to go up against Soldier Boy because mm-hmm. he could take it all away from you. But I think in some ways, Homelander is the bigger threat long term mm-hmm. because he knows how to play the current game a little bit. Like he's more dangerous in kind of like the public sphere, public sector. Like he has more power there, I think, mm-hmm. more sway than Soldier Boy would. But I wouldn't want to fight Soldier Boy.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't want to fight either of them. But yeah. Yeah, I think I agree. Also, there seems to be a little bit more humanity with Soldier Boy. And I wonder if that comes because he has had several like real and kind moments with Butcher and Huey, you know, and I get the sense that he doesn't really care about them, but he also doesn't really want to hurt them in a way where Homelander just always feels vindictive, you know. And I think like that comes from Homelander existing in a world where you have to have this persona every second of every day because somebody is always watching you. And mm-hmm. Soldier Boy coming from a world where you really could just kind of disappear for a while and do what and have Herogasm. Like Homelander couldn't go to Herogasm now because somebody would find out about it, you know?
Yeah. Soldier Boy hasn't really been held accountable the way that Homelander has. Like he's mm-hmm. been on Instagram Live. He's been, you know, there's tapes of him. Like he has to keep that mask on all the time. And Soldier Boy just, he didn't exist in that world. He's able to just... Oh, yeah, I'll be that person, you know, in the photos and at the press, you know, conferences and stuff. But other than that, like, who gives a fuck? Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't exist in the same world. And that has clearly taken a toll on Homelander in a much more significant way, I think.
Yeah, because like
it's made him colder.
Right. And you do get the sense that there is a person outside of Soldier Boy in a way that there is not a person outside of Homelander. Not True. Nearly so much as with Annie or somebody like A-Train, who I want to talk about next. But like, I feel like it seems like you could get through to Soldier Boy if you really tried. Also, he has been through the ringer. You know, we see more footage of him getting tortured again, too. So he has been really... like mm-hmm. knocked down like all of the pegs and Homelander. I still don't think that he thinks that's possible for him.
Yeah, think about it. We've seen Soldier Boy in other clothes. We've seen him in robes and street clothes. You know, we've seen him outside of his costume, mm-hmm. his work wardrobe. But Homelander, like you never see him because that's who he is. That's who mm-hmm. he is all the time.
Exactly. There is no there's no John without Homelander. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about A-Train. How are you feeling about A-Train? And were you surprised that he's still surprised, happy, glad that he's still alive?
I'm not surprised he's still alive. I didn't know what that would mean and what we learn what it means. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
He has Blue Hawk's heart.
Yeah. And Ashley thinks it's just so great.
Such a great story. Such a great story that, Yeah, they went up against Soldier Boy, killed Blue Hawk, but Blue Hawk was actually able to save him. Oh, and it's like, it gets so twisted. Because it's like, you know, A-Train made that choice and made that action with Blue Hawk, and he knew what it would mean for him and like the reason why he did that. And then to have that person's literal DNA in your body, like it's violating in a lot of ways, but at the same time, it's like, you know that you wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for that. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even know how to process that. Like, that is messed up.
Such a mind fuck. Yeah. And I mean, I am very glad that he's still alive. And I also wonder what's going to be next for him, too, because I feel like he, like we just talked about with Soldier Boy, he's gotten knocked down all of the pegs. Like he's got, he's at maybe rock bottom at this point. You know, he would have been dead. And now, you know, I think I could maybe get myself to a positive place with it. Like I'm using this heart that was evil and turning it good, you know?
Yeah.
But also, that's just awful. So is this what A-Train deserves, do you think?
I think in some ways, because it's like, it's a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also going to be a literal, for you, eternal reminder of kind of like that dark period. And like, you had to do this because you basically ruined your own heart with, you know, you can, I mean, you can read into it a lot, but like you ruined it with drugs.
Yeah.
But also, like, all the bad, other bad shit you did, basically, attached to that. And now this is your second choice, but don't remember, or, you know, don't forget where you came from, kind of thing. And, like, what got you here? But now what are you going to do with it? And so I'm really hoping he uses this moment to do something better. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm really hoping that, like, he's takes this to, like, okay, I'm going to do something. But even, like, doesn't Ashley say, like, you have to, like, publicly condemn Starlight, and he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then Star in this like Blindside type movie too, which
is
like,
sounds so awful.
I he's know.
Like, that's not what it was like at all.
Yeah. And I mean, you do kind of hope maybe he is gonna turn the page and maybe he's gonna start being the person that like we have wanted him to be since the beginning. Or at least I have. I don't know if I don't want to speak for you, but like you can see a good person in there, you know, and somebody who really wants to do their best and just keeps getting.
He has all the tools.
Yeah.
Like he literally has like all the tools to be exactly what he wants to be. Mm-hmm. He just can't see it for whatever reason. And that's so sad.
Yeah.
Because it's like this thing that you want to be and do so badly. Like you literally could. You're just not actually putting all those pieces together. You're trying to build it out of something else. And it's like, why? This will get you there.
Right.
Like, what is so wrong with this, you know, this assemblage of personal traits and tools and experiences? Like, that right there is what'll get you that popularity and that status and that relatability. And he's just not, I don't know, he's just not owning that for whatever reason. And I'm just hoping that maybe he's going to, because of these experiences that he's gone through with his brother and Blue Hawk, maybe he'll finally embrace that in a different way. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and I think like he's using the Vought playbook. Like he's trying to be Homelander. He's trying to be the Deep. And who he really needs to work with and learn from is Annie. I was like, Annie's the one who could really teach him how to be true to himself and how to be an authentic person and do what he wants to do. And Huey, too. But he has killed two of the closest people to Annie and Huey. So it's like the two tools that he could actually use or that he needs, he can't. He doesn't have access to anymore.
Yeah.
Which just is a shame. But then also, you know, he's not innocent, you know?
No.
I want to talk about Ashley. There's not a whole lot to say, but she is just fully team anti-Starlight, team Vought. Like, she's turning into Mucker Marlson, you know. And I think we'd gotten kind of hints that she was kind of writing his talking points for him. But she is just all in on the Vought Kool-Aid right now.
Oh, yeah. She's spinning that PR web all over the place. Just spinning that around, connecting things that it's like, yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, connecting her to Kimiko.
It was oh, like, yeah.
like, yeah, okay. And then how they spin her charity is like a trafficking thing. It's like, oh my God. It's like, you can, yeah, you can literally take anything and make it sound awful, right? They'll like make up some story around it to make it terrible. And
yeah,
that's what Ashley's doing. And clearly just has no like qualms about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's really feeling herself.
Doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, to be fair to Ashley, if I were working directly under Homelander and I found a way to not feel terrified for my life every second, like I might enjoy that too. You know, it's,
it's what you have to do to survive, right? Like, I think we see in this episode a lot of different coping mechanisms,
yes,
and things, and like what you have to do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Ashley has to do.
Yeah.
And it's sad and it's horrible, but she's also, I think, figuring out that like, I can be good at this.
Right. Yeah. I can be good at this in a way that I feel like Annie kind of figured out the other. She was like, I'm never going to do good here. And so I'm going to leave. And I think Ashley, when faced with that choice, she was like, no, I'm going to do this job well. I'm not going to try to be a good person in the world. And I'm going to abandon who I want to be in order to keep this job. Whereas Annie, and maybe this can transition us into Spice Girls, Annie was like, I don't want this job anymore if it lets me not be who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Annie. There's not really much to say about Annie in this episode. She doesn't do a whole lot, although she does find out that that Temp V is going to kill Huey and Butcher. And I think she kind of works her way around to forgiving Huey and gives Kimiko some V. And we can probably talk about that more with... Actually, maybe let's talk about her with Kimiko and just kind of... Mm-hmm. This. Oh no, and she also has this really great moment with Homelander too. I think she has really figured out how to work Homelander, or at least protect herself, and it's just public perception because she like gets him to confess to all this shit on her Instagram live, which is genius.
Yeah, she says something about like, he made me America's sweetheart and now he's going to like regret that.
Mm-hmm.
She's using what she has, which is her image. But the thing is, her image is real.
Yeah.
Like, whether or not, like, there were things, like, obviously the relationship wasn't real, but, like, she has been America's sweetheart literally since she became part of the Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is pretty much a genuine persona for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's had her fluctuations and how she feels and, you know, her different costumes, you know, varying, like, where she was at with that. But she always has been very true to that. And so she's, yeah, like, well, I have this, I can weaponize this, and this isn't something that he can, it won't be as easy, I guess I should say, to like take that away. Even in each, yeah, she loses a lot of followers, but she's like, I still have 194 million or whatever,
right?
Instead of the 200. You know, yeah, she's lost some, but not everybody's abandoned her,
right?
And so it's smart, like, throw it out there, and like, maybe not everybody will listen, but there will be some people that will hopefully take note.
Yeah.
And be on her side.
And if it's Homelander himself saying it, too, it becomes a lot harder to argue that she's faked all of this, you know, or that she's this criminal mastermind. Also, I think it's just so disgusting to see Todd, fucking Todd, arguing all of this. I would have punched him in the face, too.
Yeah.
Just like, people know that none of this seems real. Like, she is America's sweetheart because she is genuine. Like, she's not pulling the wool over your eyes. And I think, although it would be interesting to see from the outside, like, if we were just watching this on TV, you know, or just like living in this world, if Homelander's shtick is as good as Annie's, you know?
Yeah. I mean, his is much more polished, I think, but I think that there's an authenticity to hers.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that goes a long way. We've seen that with people where it's like, it feels more raw or whatever and less, I don't know, performative.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Homelander is very performative most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, he, you know, she came in new and like jumped all the way up to the top too. So like, people, I think, respond to that. And, you know, the kind of people I don't like respond to that authenticity with Homelander too. Like, that's, I think, why he's starting to get more of an extreme fan base now.
Yeah. I love how the spin they put on her, Like, they literally call her, like, a hysterical woman.
Uh-huh.
Like, basically, the spin they're putting on her. It's like, oh, she's crazy. She's hysterical. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow. We're really just, you know, kicking it old school with that one, aren't we?
Yeah.
She's a woman. She's insane.
Oldie but a goodie, you know. It still works, unfortunately. Let's talk about another woman. Maeve is still alive. For now, you know.
I know. Mm. I'm glad that we got this confirmation. Yes. I mean, I thought she was alive. I didn't think she was dead.
Yeah.
But I didn't know exactly where she was. And like, oh, I guess she's just been trapped in this room.
Yeah, like floors away from everybody who's looking for her. So,
yeah. But she still looks amazing. And that's my question. Because there's nothing in that room. It looks like she has, like, the most minimal of amenities, mm-hmm. but her hair looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's my theory about this. Have you seen Death Becomes Her?
Yes.
I think that, like, the potion is like V, except that it doesn't, like, fade, you know? Like,
okay.
It just makes you your best looking self ever.
Yeah.
Which is why all the soups are so hot, you know? Even Gecko.
That's true, because, yeah, I'm like, you know what? Like, God damn it. Like, that curled hair, that hair is part of her superpowers. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would want that just by itself.
Me too. I know. I would want to never have to, like, count calories, never get a zit, you know?
Yeah.
You just always look put together. If that could be my superpower, it's worth it, you know? I wouldn't tell anybody that I could do stuff, you know?
Yeah, like, just pull a Newman and be like, no, I'm just stunningly gorgeous all
exactly.
the time.
Maybe she's born with it. Yeah. Maybe it's Compound V.
Maybe it's Compound V.
Not a whole lot to say about Maeve in this episode, although I do love that she's like, oh my God, did you have a bruise? Like that,
uh-huh.
At least she got that. And that is like a crack in the facade, you know?
Well, that's what she says. Like, this, even right now, this is one of my top three best days because mm-hmm. I've seen you, like, right now I'm seeing you scared.
Right. Yeah.
Like, she sees that Homelander shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some weird way, that's like, okay, there's hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay. And I think that's what she needs right now mm-hmm. more than ever. And what she has needed for a while is just a little bit of hope that there's a way out
mm-hmm.
and that what they're doing, that fighting is worth it. Because I think for a long time she's like, what's the point? There is no point. And right now she's like, but maybe there is a point.
Right. And not even like a way out for her. Like, I think she's totally fine if she ends up dying with all of this.
Totally.
But just like a way out for everybody else. Like, somebody take Homelander down. Somebody stop this. Somebody show the world who he really is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like somebody who has just kind of given up on ever getting any kind of justice for anything, finally seeing something, you know, they're like, okay, that gives me a little bit more energy. I was thinking, like, do you think they gave her a book in that cell? Like, what is she doing all day?
I have no idea. Like,
that would be awful.
Can you imagine being stuck alone with your own thoughts all the
time?
Oh,
my God, no.
Nightmare.
Yeah, that would be awful. Well, speaking of a nightmare stuck alone with your own thoughts, that was perfect. Let's talk about there's not a whole lot to say about Mindstorm. Let's talk about Butcher, because Butcher gets stuck in a Mindstorm, which mm-hmm. of all of the powers we have seen, this might be the scariest, as you get stuck in the worst moments of your life until you die of dehydration. Which is
awful.
An unbelievable nightmare.
Ooh. No, it's horrible. Mm. And yeah, I a slow, painful, torturous death. That's just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a power. Why would you? God, and it makes sense why. I mean, we also learned that he's bipolar, but it's just like, why would you? That would be enough to, not saying this caused his mental illness, but it's just like, oh my God, that's not a power that anybody would want.
Oh no. And I mean, like, as a person that has a lot of really kind of awful intrusive thoughts sometimes, like, it sucks. And it sucks when you know it's not real. You know, you can still see the world around you and you're like, okay, there's a voice in my head telling me I'm shit and I've got to pitch 10 pieces to not be shit. but I kind of know it's not real, and I can still see mm-hmm. and hear everything else. But to be trapped with that intrusive thought all the time is just terrifying. And we see this, the thoughts that he's getting stuck with. And I think, you know, we talked about the times when he'd gone back to see his dad and stuff that we've learned about him that we weren't really that interested in. Do you think that this is a satisfying payoff? And knowing this now, does it kind of make you not be so annoyed with the earlier stuff? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, mixed feelings because of how this episode ends. Because, I mean, yes, I kind of liked getting some of that backstory and some of it made sense. Especially, you know, just everything they've set up and how this character has acted up to this point. You yeah. can see all that stuff. And it is just so sad to see, you know, what actually happened with his brother and his family. And I do think that it helps us understand Butcher as a character a lot more. Mm-hmm. But then what he does at the end with Huey and the information that he has, it actually works against Butcher. Like, it makes me more mad than maybe I would have been without knowing all of this. Mm-hmm. Because I think we see that Butcher really does have a deep affection for Huey and is making like literal connections with his younger brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he can't correct necessarily what he did in that situation. And he knows that even though he's trying in these nightmares, you know, scenarios. But clearly what's done is done. Mm-hmm. But and so it's like I think he's realizing some things with Huey and, you know, making those mental connections, emotional connections. But then when he has the opportunity to tell him the news about Temp V and doesn't mm-hmm. because he wants to go after Homelander again. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, fuck you. Like, what are you doing? And I can't figure out because it's like, has he learned nothing? But I don't think that's it. I think he has learned. I think this situation has actually made him realize a lot of things and be more self-aware about it, but then consciously choose to put Huey in that situation anyways. And that feels like so much worse to me. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know what you're doing. Like before, maybe you didn't. Maybe you were just like in denial and pushing some things aside and like, this is who I am. This is how I have to be. But it's like, I feel like anyways, I don't know how you felt about it, but like I felt like he was more self-aware and just did that anyways. And that's awful.
I am going to recuse myself from giving any thoughts about this. I am so worried that I am going to hint at something.
Okay. All right.
I agree with everything you're saying. I just don't want to spoil anything for you.
And all right, fair.
One more time, if I could just get through this one more thing.
There's only one more episode. Only one more. We're an equal playing field.
I swear, I was so happy. Like when you said you did not see Soldier Boy and Homelander dad thing coming, I was like, oh, because that was one of the big things I was worried.
Is Butcher Huey's dad?
Oh, God.
Hey, Simon, maybe that's Biggs, season not his four. Real dad.
I do think this is a really interesting look at Butcher and his relationship to Huey. And it's so interesting, like, if we think about the context of how he's treated him in the past and how cruel he is and how he shuts down. And just to see, like, it's such a horrifying story to mm-hmm. see, you know, he really did want to go back and help his brother out. But, like, you know, and as an older child, too, I know, like, it can be really hard to be the protector because that means you take a whole bunch more shit, you know. Mm-hmm. But then the guilt of having left his brother behind and that his brother died by suicide after that. And it kind of I love the way that they frame all of this because they see like we even get a shot of him smashing Mesmer's head from back in season one of just this the cycle of violence. He has become this and it is really depressing to see him become his father and to be confronted with this. And I mean, yeah, you do hope that he would learn something from this, like make connections when you can. And but it's just
it just feels like motivated by fear too. It's like he doesn't want to lose Huey too, and it's like he knows if he tells him this, like maybe he can lose him,
yeah,
and it's all gonna fall apart again. But it's like such a selfish decision to be mm-hmm. like, I don't want to risk losing you, so I'm just not gonna tell you that we're going to die.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that is so frustrating about this, too, is like what, you know, I'm watching Vanderpump Rules and I'm like, you know, 90% of these problems could be solved if y'all just stop drinking, you know? And it's like 90% of Butcher's problems could be solved, I feel like, if he just wasn't an asshole to people, you know, if he's just nice, you know, and I just don't know if he's capable of not shutting down and like reacting defensively and putting his fists up. And I think like we see why, but we also see, we have seen from the beginning how much pain that has caused him and everybody around him. And it's like, yes, it explains. I don't know if it excuses, because he also has he not learned this lesson before, you know? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. But it's hard. Like, growing up in that house, I am sure must have been incredibly hard. And it's not the kind of thing, you know, it's easy for me to say, well, how can't you just learn this lesson? You know, it's just not that easy, you know?
No, he needs a lot of therapy.
Oh, yes. He needs a lot of therapy. I you know what? 90% of these problems could be solved if everybody just sat down with Annie. And Annie was like, you know what you need to do?
Yeah, where is Vought's, like, mental health counselors, you know? Like, what are they doing? Like, they have all these resources, but I have yet to see, like, any resources put towards getting these soups in front of some mental health professionals.
That is a house of cards. It's like if the NFL started paying for people's health care past their playing season. It's like, well, they eventually go bankrupt because it's an unsustainable system, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That we all still want, myself included. Well, let's talk about Huey. How are you feeling about Huey in this episode?
I actually really liked Huey in this episode. I feel like he's starting to come out, I think, of the Temp V haze a little bit, or kind of like, I don't know, the high, he's getting some tolerance maybe.
Right. Well, and that great moment where he was like somebody who's self-medicating with powers, and then Butcher just hands him the syringe. I was like,
oh yeah, I think all of them are self-medicating, but I think he sees it now a little bit more. I feel like he has some moments where it's like he actually kind of rediscovers that, like, no, what makes me different, what makes me, you know, Huey and have something special about me is my vulnerability, my loyalty, my sensitivity, the fact that I care about these people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my superpower. That's what makes me special. And I'm not going to forget that. And I'm not going to leave him. Like, yes, he's an asshole, but he is my family. Like, I'm not going to, like, just walk away. And even though, like, he probably knows that he should.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that that is probably the smarter move. He knows, like, he should have just gone with Soldier Boy and, like, you know, finished the mission. Mm-hmm. But that's, I think he finally is like, no, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, this is who I am and this is who I want to be.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with Temp V and all that. And so it feels good. I think in some ways this redeemed Huey for me a little bit. I was happy to see that because I felt like he was going some, and I get it. Yeah, it's understandable by why he was like straying off the path a little bit. He was a little lost for a second, but I feel like, he's coming back around. Okay, this is good.
Yeah, and I think like he's seen, you know, I don't think he has been idolizing Soldier Boy too, but I think he is seeing that I think that line when Soldier was like, you know what I do when I feel bad? Fucking nothing. I think that hit him. You know, he was like, well, you can't live like that. Nobody, that's not real, you know? And I think he's kind of, I think you're right. I think he's realizing what his strength really is, and it's being true to himself, which is what Annie's strength really is too, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to give there was a nice little visual shout out to Supernatural in this too, where they open the trunk of the car and from the camera coming from the trunk, you know, which is something that Sam and Dean.
Oh, is that a Supernatural thing too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So here's another reason you need to watch Supernatural is because Baby the Impala is like a third character. Like, they drive around in this awesome car and they call Baby. There's a whole episode from the car's point of view. Like, I really think you would like it. But yeah, so when they, you know, that moment where they open the trunk and it's Soldier Boy and it's Huey and it's Butcher and they're all looking. That's a very Supernatural moment. So,
Oh, I love that. And I feel like they've done it before in The Boys, too. So I thought it was just like, oh, I feel like this is like maybe like a Kripke, like.
It could be a Kripke thing.
Like style, like a little Easter egg nod thing. But that makes sense because that would still be true.
Yeah.
It's just another like series of his where they do that. And, that's
and it was
cute.
Nice
I like that little visual Easter egg.
Yes. Yeah. And it was nice to see Jensen Ackles on the outside of the trunk this time, too, because it's just a good show. I might have to put it back on when I'm done with Vanderpump. Okay, well, there are a couple more people I want to talk about. I think the biggest, like, Frenchie and MM, fucking Todd, and they're both kind of messes. I feel like their story feels like set up to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Kimiko, and I was watching, all I could think was spaghetti arms from Dirty Dancing, you know? Tell me how you're feeling about Kimiko and Frenchie.
I mean, I was surprised. I think I didn't necessarily think that, like, Kimiko, now she wants to take V again. She wants her powers back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes sense, though. And this is, like, one of the things that I thought was so sweet that I was like, oh, I'm getting emotional. Because I think she finally realized that, like, I can use this. Like, this was how I was keeping these people I love safe.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't do that. I mean, she's still, like, we've seen a formidable fighter. Like, she can still fight. But she's not, you know, immortal, basically. Like, she can't heal. And so she's not able to keep people that she loves safe in the same way. And I think she it finally clicks that, like, they can't, like, they're always going to fight for her, too. But, yeah, it just, the playing field is leveled and not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And if she can do that again, maybe she would feel differently about her powers. Like, she just needed to look at them differently,
mm-hmm.
not see herself as a monster, but, like, I do what I have to keep people I love alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she says something about that, basically. And so, you know, just, like, it's not the V that was making me bad. It was almost just kind of like she had to just shift her perception about how she was looking at it,
mm-hmm.
and not let other people's perceptions of her, I think, which, I mean, you can't blame her. She was literally kept in a cage and, like, experimented on. Like, she's been told before she met any of these people what she was.
Mm-hmm.
And is still now called a terrorist and all this other stuff. And so it makes sense that she would let that, like, oh, that's true. That's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I think finally she's kind of like, no, that's not who I am. Like, that's not what Frenchie says I am. And, like, who else would I, like, I should listen to that, not these other people.
Yeah, yeah. And there are enough people now that are listening. Like, I always think it's so sweet when she and Annie are together, too, you know?
It's so cute.
I know. Like, Annie needs some girlfriends, too, you know? But, yeah, she says, and it's really similar to something Butcher said a couple of episodes ago. She says, the V isn't good or bad. It just depends on the person using it. I want to use my powers to do good, to fight for the ones I love. And I should say, she's not saying this. She's has written this and other people are reading it. But yeah, I think it is a shift of the two people in the show that hated Supes the most, I think, is Kimiko and Butcher. And for them both to kind of have this turning point of, like, you know, maybe powers aren't bad. Maybe it's just, you know, it's like the gun. The gun itself is not bad. It's the person in the hand who has it in their hands. Now, of course, I don't think everyone should have access to guns because bad people can get them in the same way. I don't think people should have powers. But when you are trying to fight people with powers, having powers yourself can be very good. And yeah, I think you're right. Kimiko realizes how much of an asset she was and that it wasn't all bad. In fact, most of it wasn't bad once she escaped the bad. It was the situation that was bad. It wasn't the fact that she had powers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, you know what RuPaul always says, like, you have to love yourself before you can love it. Like, how, you know, how can you love anybody else until you love yourself? That kind of thing. And I think finally, I think that has also changed a little bit. And so now she's able to, you know, I mean, she's always loved Frenchie, but I think she's able to, like, know, like, I want to be with, like, she's being more physical with him. I feel like she's more open to that relationship now, whereas before I think she was keeping some walls up.
Yeah.
Like, we literally see her, like, hey, dance with me. Like, hey, like, she wants to touch him. Like, she wants to be close to him because I think she's looking at herself differently.
Yeah.
Like, she's not like, I don't deserve you. I don't deserve this. Like, I need to keep some, I'm a monster. Stay away. I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
I think now she's seeing herself differently, which is allowing them to connect. Kind of like how they've always wanted to, but there's just been that that invisible wall up between them, and now she's kind of torn it down. It's very cute.
Well, and think back to the very first episode when we met her, when Frenchie like sat down and was always like treating her like a wounded animal, and she would like lash out if he got too close. And I think it makes me just love Frenchie so much, because he has put in so much time and effort and love into trying to help bring this person out of this really horrifying shell she was trapped in. And now he is finally seeing the benefits of that. And it just kind of, I don't know, when you talk about walls coming up, like I think about just a lot of conversations I've had with my husband about just me being uncomfortable with like intimacy and stuff. And it takes a long time, but it is worth it. And, you know, I think Kimiko for a long time didn't see herself as human, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
And now she finally is. And it's like, remember in that first episode, the first season when she was combing her hair, you know, it was like the first time she had like started to take a baby step into like feeling like a human being. And it's just so sweet to see her actually connect with him like this, you know, and to ask for what she wants too, you know. But what do you think the future of their relationship is going to be? Because she's like, I don't know. Like, do you get a romantic vibe from them still?
I do. So I guess we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. And to be honest, I can't remember. I don't know if there's a whole lot of development with this in the last episode. And if there is, I can't remember. But I don't know.
It also, like, I would be fine with it either way. Like, this isn't like a Mulder Scully thing where it's like, no, don't get together. Right. Like, just if you're fine as friends. Like, why are they forcing this issue?
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, just because they're good friends doesn't mean they have to be together romantically, which, you know, I don't think it's one of those situations. Like, if they're together, fine. And maybe they're just like incredibly close friends. And like, I would also be fine with that. But I think right now in this moment, it feels like, I mean, she kissed him last time and before he got, you know, whisked away by little Nina.
Yeah.
So I think there is a romantic possibility. Now, yeah, where it ends up, I don't know. But I think it's, for me, there's some chemistry there. There's some sexual tension there.
I would like them to go to Versailles at some point. Or Marseille.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in France, you know, things happen that you don't expect. Well, I think that's just about all the characters. If there's anybody we haven't talked about, I think we can probably catch up with them. Let's go to our next category, good and evil. And the only thing I have here is that everybody has PTSD, you know, and they're specifically calling it out. And because we've got Homelander seeing Soldier Boy in the crowd. That was really interesting. Like that somebody just wearing fatigues he saw as Homelander. Dreamboat Jensen Ackles. I'm sorry. I'm really going to stop. He's just so cute.
No, never.
And then Butcher, traumatized from his childhood, MM and Frenchie. And they've both talked about the trauma in their past. And then I forgot to even write Black Noir here. Like,
yeah,
it's just like so many men in this world are traumatized because it is a traumatizing world, you know?
Yeah. And it's just, it's interesting just to kind of see this cycle of abuse and just kind of this cycle affect all of them in one way or another. Like, even it's so sad. It's like you see, and I think we also see kind of just how our relationships define us and sort of how, but that goes both ways, like how we define others based on our relationship with them. Like, and I think of MM and his daughter standing there watching her dad punch Todd, who, what Todd's doing is fucked. Like, don't get me. And even her mom is like, don't take my kid there. Like,
yeah, which is not good, okay. Good for her.
Like she had MM's back in a lot of ways. Like, no, Todd, like, not cool. But to see that through a kid's eyes and not necessarily understand what's going on, like, that's going to be something she's never going to forget.
Yeah.
And just like how confusing that is, and to see, you know, and so it's like he's kind of perpetuating this cycle and like everything that he doesn't want in some ways, but now it's like, oh God, it's just really sad because it's out of context. She doesn't have all the information.
Yeah.
But also when you're a kid, like that stuff's gonna stick with you and it's not gonna be good.
Oh, yes. Believe me, I had EMDR therapy today and was talking about things that happened when I was a kid. And it's like those moments that I mean, who knows what's stored in people's memories that you don't think are big deals, but they go for, they plant, they are seeds that are planted and they start to branch out into all of these different pieces of your life.
Well, they can actually have like the opposite intended effect too, because in some ways, maybe that pushes her closer to Todd.
Because exactly.
Her dad is like this big, scary guy, like punching. It's like, well, that's terrifying. But she doesn't see the danger in what Todd's doing because it's like, oh, he's just spending time with her. He's just taking her to see like the superhero that she likes. Like it feels so much more innocent, but it's just danger in, you know, a less physical sense.
Yeah. Because she doesn't see the bigger picture. She doesn't have all the information. Yeah. I really love shows that will talk about men having mental illness. I think it's really, especially big, really big, strong men. And, you know, I know we've talked about that before, but it just, and I feel like it's a pretty realistic, for a show about superheroes where people's heads explode, it's a pretty realistic depiction of mental illness, you know, in a way that doesn't shame any of the characters, which I really love, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Shock and Awe. I don't know if you were proud of me, but I was proud of myself because I caught some needle drops, although these are my needle drops. Like, this is like cheesy music. I can't fight this feeling anymore. One of my favorite REO Speedwagon songs, one of my favorite songs from the 80s. And then More Than Words, I was like, oh, fuck. I'm back at the middle school dance.
These were some good ones for sure. Like, I love seeing, hearing all of those. And it was like, yeah. All right. This makes sense. Like,
yeah. Corey is a huge Crimson and Clover fan. Like, he, yeah. I don't know. He wanted to watch, what's that Natasha Lyonne song or show? The one that repeats just because of
Russian Doll.
Russian Doll. Yeah. He's like, we got to watch this. It's got Crimson and Clover in the title.
Yeah. Well, and just like, it makes so much sense for that character. It's like, okay. Yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course. Soldier Boy would be listening to
Real
Speedwagon.
Because it's a good song. And of course, Deep would be listening to the 90s. Because that's probably when his heyday, when life was less complicated. And he was just the hot guy who could get away with everything, you know?
Yeah.
And what do they say? Your favorite music is always what we listen to in high school, too, you know?
Oh God, I was literally listening to Taking Back Sunday and the Academy is like earlier when I was going to the stores.
Oh yeah. That was me with Siamese Dream the other day. Yep. And Jagged Little Pill.
I listened to that today.
It's because it's so good. Yes. I have heard that she just is living off that for the rest of her life, which makes me so happy.
She deserves to.
She really does. Yeah. I love her. Okay. Ooh. We've already talked about Mindstorm. I just wanted to shout out that mug because, you know, I am a big mug fan and that I need that mug. And if that mug doesn't exist, I think we should make it for some merch and start our own badass mugs.
I think, what else? For me, Homelander milking the cow.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Like, I love that. Like, that's his coping mechanism. Like, oh God, I see him out there. I gotta drink some milk.
Oh, like, my God.
So gross.
And he, like, just when you think he cannot get grosser with milk, he gets grosser with milk.
It's like, I guess he is a superhero, so maybe he's not so worried about, like, pasteurization and stuff. But, like, the fact that he's just drinking, like, raw milk out of a bucket.
Yeah. And hey, at least he didn't drink it out of the udder.
Thank you for actually. That is good that he didn't do that. He had the decency to like put in a bucket first. That's true. But yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, and it's. I feel like someday I'm gonna write an essay about Homelander and milk because it's always so weird. And gross. Yeah. And we've had all of these milk moments because, like, when he drank Madeline's breast milk, when he was having milk at the breakfast table, and now that's just, so gross. I had forgotten.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would be a thing if it weren't, you know, if he knew that Soldier Boy was his dad the whole time.
Right. Exactly.
The Deep's three-way proposition was pretty shocking. When he pulled out, what's her name, Ambrosia?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is, I was just like, what is happening?
Oh, my gosh. Man, and he, Chase Crawford, again, like, he's just so great. Like, when Cassandra just runs out and then there's a splash and then he's just like, no, 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 it's fine. She'll come around.
He calls her babe. Babe. He calls the octopus babe.
So cute. I love it. And it's like, again, like, if Deep's love for octopi could have been, like, celebrated by the rest of the world, would he be such an asshole? You know, it's not excusing anything, but
yeah,
just what might have been, you know?
Yeah. The whole dad thing. That got me. And the Temp V news, I'm not surprised by that, but it was like, oh shit. Like, I don't know how they're gonna, cause like, I mean, I'm assuming Huey and Butcher survive. We know they're in season 4. So, like, I'm assuming that, but also, like, I don't know. It's like, oh, shit, like, I don't know how they're going to get out of that. Like, what does this mean? What is this going to, you know, but you're not telling Huey.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if you're doing math, like, 3 to 5 doses, we know they've taken that many, you know? Yeah. I mean, Huey's taken at least 3. We know Butcher's taken at least 5 doses. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe in his head, he's like, well, I'm dead already. Might as well, like, try to do something. I just now thought it was like, oh, maybe he's just thinking, like, well, might as well just, like, try to finish this before we die. But, like, I don't know.
I'm going to zip my lips and throw the key
away. One episode. Okay. We can do it. We can make it through one more episode.
Anything else you want to call out? I think that's it. There were a lot of shocking things that happened, but this did feel like more of like an emotional heavy episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I feel like that's kind of their pattern. I feel like, is they have like these really big, heavy action, like episodes. And then the penultimate one is more like weighty because then they have to like finish on, you know, and kind of like finish on a high note. But this is like the setup, setup for that. And that's okay. I'm fine with it. I feel like they kind of, it feels like anyways that they kind of do this pattern every season, but whatever. I don't know. It works for me. I'm not tired of it yet.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The 6th episode is usually a really big one too, because we had the blow the bloody doors off, which was when they were at the Willow Grove place. Yeah. And then, you know, like someone who has just been at Herogasm, you have to recover a little bit, like we said at the top of the episode.
Yeah.
Well, while we're resting up, let's choose our fighters. Rachel, who are you choosing this episode?
Mine is Huey this episode because he was pissing me off. He was making some weird decisions. I did not necessarily like not where my he was Huey. Going.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to like, okay, he's coming back. He's feeling himself a little bit more, or like, I don't know, getting reconnected with parts of himself, that which is why we love him so much. And so it felt good to have him recognize that again. What he's going to do with it after that, I don't know. But I liked what he did there. He fought for Huey, or he fought for Butcher, and he genuinely was going to take Mindstorm somewhere before he got a knife to the eyeball from Soldier Boy, the side of the head.
Which, by the way, shout out to that effect, because,
I know, it was just like, just right there. Oh, God. And so it really did feel like he was standing up for himself in a lot of ways and like, no, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm going to do. Even against somebody as strong and powerful as Soldier Boy, he still did what he thought was right. And that was cool to see, I think.
Yeah.
Well, not I think, I know. For me, it was cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. The moment where he's like, no, fuck you. I'm not listening to you. I'm not buying your shit, you know? It makes you wonder, like, if Homelander had grown up hearing that from a lot of people, then he would be a different person, you know?
Yeah.
I am choosing, I'm choosing Soldier Boy, I think, mostly because of Jensen Ackles. And, you know, I haven't chosen him for a couple of times. Partly because of my huge and undying crush that I promise I will stop talking about at some point. But I think that he navigates this character in this episode very well, you know, like he is charming and he shows you how, like, and we didn't even mention the moment where he's singing again and it's just god awful. But he gives us just enough to like so that we see why the world would like him, but also he shows us the shitty side of that. And I think it's a really tricky line to walk. in the deep, Chase Crawford has been doing that very well as well. But he's, Jensen Ackles is doing it in a different way because the stakes are so much more like deadly, you know? And so it's just interesting to watch. Also, just to be able to throw off a line like, why don't you gargle with my nutsack without even like looking at Huey? Like, it's just. And I was thinking, like, after being on the CW for 15 years and to have such, like, strict content restrictions, to just be able to say all this shit, do all of this shit. And, you know, Chase Crawford's probably the same way because he was on the CW, too, you know.
It's got to be fun to just be like, oh, I'm just going to be this. I'm just going to say these god-awful things that I could never or would never say in real life.
Yeah. And it's, like, that's part of the reason I love the show so much. She can feel Kripke being, like, indulging himself in... Like, yeah, I'm going to let that guy explode through the penis. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Predictions is the last time I'm not going to give a prediction. Rachel, what do you think's going to happen and what are you excited to see?
I mean, I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I'm nervous that somehow Soldier Boy and Homelander are going to team up because, yeah, that.
Because they're related.
It's his dad.
You know?
They're related. And this changes family, everything.
Right?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. It's about family. They're going to buy a Dodge Charger and they're going to just start street racing.
Or an Impala. Maybe the Impala shows up.
Yeah. It's about family. And so I'm nervous that they're going to team up because it's one of those things where it's like you need them to fight because only they can really destroy each other. Mm-hmm. And so if they team up, like, what does that mean? What does that mean for Vought? What does that mean for everybody else? Because that's a dangerous combo. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it feels like it's leading. So I'm nervous about that. I think that Huey will find out about the bad effects of Tempe. And it's like, I'm hoping it resolves differently because we've seen Huey and Butcher like get at odds so many times and kind of like come together and then fall apart and then come together and fall apart. It's like, are we really going to do this again? So I'm actually hoping that it's going to go a different way because it's like, okay, how many times are we going to do this? It's getting a little repetitive. So I'm putting my faith in the writers that they're going to come up with a different result. And that's not necessarily where this is heading. I think that, let's see what else. I think the Deep's going to fuck it up.
Oh, that's right. He's got the Hannity. And I thought that we were going to see that episode, that his appearance in this episode, but we don't. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So that's
and I think something's going to happen with Black Noir this next episode. Where it's going to end up, I don't know. But he's not, I don't think we're just going to leave him sitting in that abandoned Chuck E. Cheese. I think he is going to make a move. And I think ultimately that he probably will have to have a face-to-face with Soldier Boy. And I love Black Noir, so I'm a little nervous to what that will mean because I don't know if he can beat Soldier Boy. Yeah. But I think we're going to have a confrontation there. So that's some of my predictions. But the rest, I don't fucking know.
Well, I will say, I think for the last time that I know something, because you're going to be caught up next episode. Can you believe it?
It's going to be a whole new world.
It's going to be a whole new world. Yeah, I do think that you are going to be pleased with this episode. There is a particular moment that I'm thinking of that I really, really love, that I'm excited to see again. And I also might make you a couple of a list of Supernatural episodes that I think you'd enjoy too, that may or may not involve Jensen Ackles and cars. But until then, let's wrap up with some plugs. So Rachel, where can we find you and what do you have coming up?
Sure. You can also... You know what you should do? Everybody should go and listen to the Losers Club episode that we recorded together about Carrie.
Yep.
Because you know what? She's 50 and she looks great. And just because her birthday was a little while ago doesn't mean like she deserves to be celebrated all year long.
Was Carrie the first Spice Girl?
Oh my gosh.
She has powers.
Yeah.
Hey, it's canon. I think we can make it work.
It's canon. Oh my God, what if Carrie, what if Sissy Spacek shows up?
I thought I would die.
But that episode was so good and so fun. That and so fun. If anybody's a fan of Carrie, you should go listen to that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, over on Halloweenies, we're covering Alien Resurrection this month. And I'm also doing a special rental episode with Dan and Mike about Idle Hands. So we get to talk about another hot boy, Devin Sawa. So. Yeah, so you can do that. And then, yeah, follow me on socials or Instagram at The Vinyl Girl, GRRRL, and I'll share everything there.
Sweet. And you can find me at Jim Ferratu on social media places. And yeah, the Carrie episode was a good one. We covered the movie version of Carrie on The Lady Killer, so you can find me co-hosting there. And then Rachel and I are about to hop into the Mercedes to start talking about one Mr. Hodges. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Yeah. It's a rich text, I will say. Yeah. And you can also find me co-hosting the White Ladies in Crisis podcast on this very network. And we are in the middle of looking at some white alcoholic ladies in crisis. So that's been real interesting with the woman in the window and the girl on the train and the woman across the street on the house on the window or something. I don't think anybody has ever actually said that title, right?
Said it correctly. Yeah,
exactly. But it is pretty funny. So yeah, check that out. And that's it for this episode of The Girls on the Boys. We want to give a huge thank you to the Anatomy of a Scream Pod Squad for hosting the show. Make sure to check out the other fantastic shows in the feed. And we are going to be back in 2 weeks to talk about the final episode in season 3. I'm so excited. More just to not have the weight of not spoiling anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to be caught up. And then we're going to announce what's going forward. Before we started recording today, we cooked up some plans for the future. They do include Gen V and they do include season 4. So we will let you know all of that going forward. And until then, you guys, you are the real heroes.
Scream Pod Squad.